Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? It's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Tuesday, November 14th, week 11 already, man. 1 month left in the fantasy football regular season for most of us out there, but still a lot of work to do on the waiver wire. So we're going to get right into it today to set you up. Of course, if you want the entire waiver wire list, waiver wire rankings, FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK will get you 10% off, and it is an annual subscription, so you get it now. You keep it until this time next year, which is a good deal if you ask me. I will say this before I dive into the waiver wire recommendations. I don't think he's available, but just in case, give it a look. Jaylen Warren. Okay, so the news came out. He's been named the starting running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I am going to be cautious about that. I still think it's not like Najee Harris is not going to be used any longer. But they're going to use both of them as they have been. We may see a slight flip in terms of snap share, in terms of touch volume. But all starter means in the NFL is you're on the field for the first play. This is not like the NBA where then, okay, you're on the field for the first play. Therefore, you're going to be on the field for a lot of the plays in the beginning of the game. That doesn't necessarily guarantee it. So just be careful. Starter is a misleading term in the NFL. At the same time, if he's available, go out and get him. And yeah, it would be one of those 25 to 50% type bids. There isn't anybody else this week who's worth that. So let's get into it. The top of the list for me, Devin Singletary, 15 to 25%. He's available in roughly half of leagues out there. Damian Pierce has been sidelined the last 2 weeks. And this past week, Singletary showed what he could do. 150 yards and a score on 30 carries. Huge game for him. We had already seen that game before the Texans bye week where Singletary sort of snuck by Damian Pierce in terms of workload. Then Damian Pierce, when they came back from bye, was back in the lead. Then the ankle injury, I think this could be the final straw. And I think we could see Singletary as the lead back in that very exciting Houston offense. If he is, he's an RB2. So he's well worth paying for in terms of FAB this week. Keaton Mitchell, 12 to 20%. I really wish we could say, hey, Keaton Mitchell is guaranteed 12 to 15 touches per game. I can't say that. John Harbaugh did come out and say they were going to get him more involved going forward, but I don't know what that means. More involved, okay, we had 4 touches last week. Is that 6 touches? Is it 8? Is it 10? I'd love it to be 10. So my expectations aren't massive here. That's why it's 12 to 20%. Although I do love this kid's ceiling. And these are the types of players every single year we get on our rosters. You make that push into the postseason, and these types of players guide you to the fantasy promised land. Trey McBride, 10 to 15%. Hey, man, he topped 100 receiving yards in the game. First Cardinals tight end to do so since 1989. And it wasn't a fluke that it happened in Kyler Murray's first start. I think we're at the point where McBride is an every week tight end starter, not a streamer any longer. So I'm going out and getting him. Noah Brown, 10 to 15%. Okay, so the 150 plus in back-to-back games. I'll actually talk about this again on Friday, but get this. 23% of Noah Brown's career receiving yards have come in the last 2 weeks. And it's not like this is his rookie season. He's been around for a little while. That's pretty wild right there. But okay. Big performances the last 2 weeks. This past week was with Nico Collins not in the roster, right? He was out. So I'm going to maybe dial it back a little bit. There also are a lot of mouths to feed. You have Collins, you have Tank Dell, you have Dalton Schultz. So I don't want to go too overboard here. By the same token, he did do it in back-to-back weeks. And I always say, hey, 2 weeks is a trend. So I don't know if we necessarily lock Noah Brown into starting lineups going forward, but I do think we're going to be looking at weeks where he's in the flex conversation. And man, I just want to tap into this exciting offense in Houston. I really do. DeMario Douglas, not an exciting offense in New England, 10 to 15%. We don't know who's going to be the quarterback when they come back from bye, but we do know that DeMario Douglas has established himself as the lead pass catcher. Six catches, 84 yards, nine targets last week. And I don't think that changes if it's Bailey Zappi or if it's Mac Jones. It's not going to look great, but the beauty to him, he's not dependent on those high air yards targets that, you know, I just don't know if either one of those guys is going to be able to deliver. He's a, you know, lower air yards guy, short and intermediate area of the field. So he's going to continue to see volume and may just solidify himself in that wide receiver three conversation going forward. The nice thing as well, New England is going on their bye next week. Bye week players are always cheaper to get on waivers because most people, and I'm telling you, most people will make their waiver wire claims doing one particular thing and one thing only. They will open up their app or go to the commissioner's site on their, you know, desktop, and they will go to free agency and they will do this. Ready? Sort by projected points and then pick up the guys who are projected to score the most points. It happens, and you might even do it, dear listener. You might do it yourself. But the thing about that is DeMario Douglas is on bye. So you know what his projection is this week? Zero. So he is not going to show up. Now, sometimes people will sort by last week's points scored. I get that. He'll show up there. But most people don't do that. And so therefore, guys like DeMario Douglas, if he's still available in your league, he may not be. He's been fairly widely picked up, although I think it's roughly two-thirds of the leagues right now he's out there. You can get him cheaper. You don't have to spend as much because he's going to be available because people sort by projected points. So just keep that one. I've said it many times on this podcast and other places, but keep that one up your sleeve. Brandon Cooks, 5 to 10%. I'm not going to go overboard for him. I don't like older players. Like, this is his 10th year in the NFL. Great career for him. I don't like older players at this time of year. I found over the years, the older players slow down as we get into mid, late November, and then especially December when fantasy football playoffs are here. But by the same token, as I just said, the Houston offense is exciting. Well, they're not the only exciting offense in Texas because the Dallas Cowboys are also quite exciting right now. And Brandon Cooks coming off of that big performance, 173 yards and a score. That was part of the appeal, but the bigger appeal is really the 10 targets that he saw. I wouldn't expect that going forward, but or every week, I should say. But I do want to tap into this. And Brandon Cooks is the number two receiver in that offense. All right, Deontay Foreman, I'm going 5 to 10%. Khalil Herbert wasn't ready to be activated last week, so we got another solid performance out of Foreman. I do think Herbert will be back this week, though Foreman may be on the right side of that timeshare after what he's done over the last 5 weeks. So this is one where you need depth at running back at this time of year. Here's some depth at running back if he is still out there. And he's still another one fairly widely available. Maybe it had to do with people thinking that Herbert was coming back last week. But regardless, Josh Dobbs, 5 to 10%. All right. I have met quarterback 15 for the remainder of the season. And a big part of that is not really just the play, which the play has been impressive over the last 2 weeks. He could have Justin Jefferson back this week. I mean, that makes me ear to ear grinning happy. Just the thought of that, because I have a league where I desperately need just a pop down the stretch. I essentially have to win out to, I think I could go 3-1 and make the playoffs, but if I win out, I will get in the playoffs. Four-game win streak is not impossible, and getting Justin Jefferson back this week would really help on that front. Tyler Boyd, 5 to 8%. He's a premium short-term rental because it doesn't look like T. Higgins is going to play this week. And obviously, we saw what Boyd was able to do with Higgins out this past week, 147 yards, eight catches. So you're looking at like a fringe wide receiver two, if not back-end wide receiver two, with no T. Higgins this week. Elijah Moore, 4 to 7%. Scored his first touchdown in a Browns uniform this past week. Seven targets. He doesn't really have a high ceiling, but he is the number two wide receiver in that offense. I mean, part of this is Deshaun Watson, whether or not he's actually playing. He's got an ankle issue that he's dealing with. But I think, you know, you're in a league where it's slightly deeper, Moore's available. It's not bad depth to have. Romeo Doubs, 4 to 7%. Okay, so any investment in a Packers pass catcher is also an investment in their quarterback, Jordan Love, which has not been really the best thing. But he has scored in three of his last four games. doesn't have a particularly high ceiling, could be a flex option down the stretch. But I also know, like, if you're in a regular size league or even a shallow league, let's say, and you have Romeo Doubs and you're looking at, you know, DeMario Douglas or Noah Brown or somebody like that, then I could see you moving on from him. I'm not saying drop him. Like, I know that's what a lot of people who listen to these podcasts or who follow fantasy football analysis, they want to hear us say, drop him. But you know what? That's crappy advice because I don't know what your league looks like. I can't just blindly say, yeah, drop his ass. I can't. I think he actually is an asset in certain leagues. And then there are other leagues where he may be expendable. But I'm trying to cast a wide net with this particular waiver wire rankings. So, I mean, he is addable for some folks out there, and he's still really widely available. Rico Dowdle, 4-7%. Tony Pollard spinning his wheels. Rico Dowdle had a good game, 79 yards and a score on 12 carries. I do not think that he's going to pass Tony Pollard on the depth chart. By the same token, we could see some more work for him going forward. I actually think that's good for Pollard. Pollard was better last year with Zeke there, where he didn't have to carry the massive workload. And, you know, Dowdle could have some value. He also has some implied value if Pollard was to go down with injury. Ty Chandler, 4-7%. Akers obviously out for the season. Chandler actually got some work before Alexander Mattison went out with the concussion. If Mattison does in fact miss this week, you are looking at an RB2 or front-end flex play with Ty Chandler, but it could only be a short-term rental with him, so that's why I'm not going too overboard. 4-7% on Quentin Johnston. He got in the end zone this past week, slowly getting better, and this is the time of year when we see that out of these rookies in particular. So with Johnston, I think it isn't a bad idea at all to toss him on benches. Tyler Conklin, 4-7%. You need help at tight end, as a lot of people do. He could be your guy. He's not going to score touchdowns. He hasn't scored one this season, but 13 catches for 136 yards over his last two games. He's the number two target in that offense, and honestly, he's going to keep being the number two target given the state of things for them. Not a bad streamer option moving forward. Ezekiel Elliott, 3-5%. Not sexy, but he's being used. 15 touches, 84 scrimmage yards this past week. Fairly large role, and honestly, given the state of the passing game, I would not be surprised if they continue to lean heavily on the run game there in New England. And another guy who, going on by, you can get him for nothing. Zach Charbonnet, 3-5%. He's playing great football. 5.6 yards per carry, expanded role in the passing game, but he is behind Kenneth Walker, and that's not changing. So you may, in a couple of these weeks, because we still have one more bye Mageddon, you may have the opportunity to use him during the byes down the stretch, but we also have... with Charbonnet, that implied value, which is really, really important. If Walker went down, you're looking at a top 15 guy in Charbonnet. By the way, bye Mageddon is week 13. It's Buffalo, Chicago, Vegas, Minnesota, the Giants. Well, there's only Saquon now. And then Baltimore. So it's not as bad, but Buffalo, yeah, there's a reasonable amount of viable fantasy options. Minnesota has a bunch of them. The Raiders have a few. The Bears have a few. The Baltimore Ravens obviously have a few as well. So keep that in mind. A.T. Perry, 3-5%. They're heading into bye this week, so you can get them for pretty much nothing. There is an expectation Michael Thomas misses some time with this knee injury. I don't think it's season-ending, but he misses some time. Perry's like a very similar player to Michael Thomas. He caught a touchdown this past week. Antonio Gibson, 3-5%, has caught five balls in each of his last three games, found the end zone last week. Now, with these pass-catching guys, there's always volatility at running back, but if your waiver wire is picked over, I don't hate running out, grabbing Gibson, seeing what we have. You know, maybe they do lean into this a little bit more down the stretch as they have been here. Jalen Guyton, 3-5%. He's back, running a full complement of routes, ran as many routes as Quentin Johnston this past week, got in the end zone, saw six targets. The one challenge with Guyton is he's kind of one of those boomer bust type players because he is more of a high A-dot, high air yards receiver. But that being said, he's widely available, deeper leagues, beggars can't be choosers, and I don't mind getting a guy with a high ceiling in a very potent offense like Guyton. Jaden Reed, 3-5%. Okay, any investment in a Packers receiver is an investment in Jordan Love. He is the number three receiver, but they do run a lot of three wide receiver sets. Michael Mayer, 3 to 5%. I would love to be higher on him. The volume isn't quite there yet. He only had the three catches this past week, but he made a Gronk-esque touchdown reception. He's going to be in the streamer conversation going forward. And honestly, the offense doesn't look that bad post-Josh McDaniels. Luke Musgrave, 3 to 5%. Any investment in a Packers pass catcher is an investment in Jordan Love. I think we're seeing a theme here. But how about this? Okay, so over the last 2 weeks, Luke Musgrave has 115 receiving yards on five catches. That's pretty good. That's pretty good for a tight end. The workload isn't going to be particularly high, but the ceiling is, so he is still in the streamer conversation. Tajay Spears, 1 to 3%. We are one Derrick Henry injury away from Tajay Spears as a top 20 or better running back. So it's implied value, and as we get closer to the fantasy football postseason, if your bench is deep enough, this is not for somebody with four bench spots or five bench spots, but if you have six, seven, eight bench spots, you do want to get some of these implied value guys. You have to look at your roster. Are you carrying two tight ends? If so, why? If it's not because your tight end is on bye this week, your regular tight end, there's no reason for you to be carrying two tight ends. Are you carrying two quarterbacks in a one quarterback league? If so, why? Again, if your starter is not on bye this week, you probably shouldn't be carrying that second quarterback. We want to load up in these positions that tend to bite us the most. And those positions are running back and wide receiver more so. Now, if you don't like that advice, cool, disregard it. I'm just telling you how I played a game, though, and I want to load up on these high implied value guys as we get closer to the playoffs. We're not quite in end game phase yet, but we are very, very close to it. And it doesn't help to, or hurt, that is, to get out ahead of it. Trenton Irwin, 1 to 3%. He could be out there in a larger role again this week because T. Higgins, unlikely to play. He got in the end zone last week, 54 yards on two catches. Maybe more of a DFS option for most of us, but if you're in a deeper league, he could be a spot start play this week. Baker Mayfield, this week isn't necessarily a great matchup for Baker Mayfield. He does get San Francisco, but he's going to be a streamable option down the stretch. Honestly, really a decent season. You know, credit where credit is due here to Baker Mayfield. Two passing scores in each of his last three games. Two bye week quarterbacks who may be starters, may not be starters, depending on the injury situations when they come back. Jameis Winston, Desmond Ridder. Derek Carr's in concussion protocol. The word is the shoulder injury isn't bad, but he is in concussion protocol. We'll see there. I would much rather have Jameis than Desmond Ridder, but I can't guarantee that he's going to start. There is some momentum for Carr to be the starter in week 12. Desmond Ridder, Taylor Heinicke has that hamstring issue, and of course, Arthur Smith isn't telling us anything. So in Superflex, if you need a third quarterback, or if you want to be proactive, you have a deeper bench, one of those two isn't bad. I would lean Winston in a vacuum if they were both starting, but it may only be Ridder who's the starter. So just be aware of that if you're trying to get out ahead here. Let's talk about team defenses. So this week, the following defenses are fine. If you're rostering them, they're all very good defenses, and they're in, for the most part, favorable matchups, or the matchup isn't bad enough to let them go, and I'm going to just keep using them. And I don't want to overthink team defense. Dallas, duh, they face Carolina. Buffalo, they face the Jets. It's not as good as it once was, but it's still a pretty good matchup. Cleveland, they get Pittsburgh. I don't mind facing Kenny Pickett. Baltimore gets Cincinnati, but they're just playing such good football that I don't want to go away from them. I know that obviously the team didn't win this past week, but I still want to use that Ravens defense. The 49ers, I just mentioned, they go up against Baker. And then, of course, the Jets will be on the other side of that Buffalo matchup. And originally I was like, nah, I'm going to cut the Jets. Nope, not after last night. I'm going to keep going after Josh Allen, as crazy as that is. They can put some points on a board, but if Josh Allen turns the ball over two or three times, then whatever. He's got that Brett Favre in him, man. He's got that Brett Favre, that gunslinger. The defenses that I think you could cut, New Orleans, they're in bye. They're not good enough to hold through their bye week. And then Philly, I don't want to have to face Kansas City. So if you, for some reason, held them through their bye week, they're not usable this week. So that's 2 weeks of wasting a bench spot with the Eagles defense. There are great streamers this week. I'm going to start with whoever, you know, the flow chart. Who is facing the Giants? That would be Washington this week. Tommy DeVito will be our fantasy football cheat code for the remainder of the season, as long as he is the starter. Let's see. Detroit versus Chicago. Justin Fields may not play. Even if he does, I still like the Lions as a high-ceiling streamer. Pittsburgh, they're widely available enough to not make the threshold of defenses to keep, but I don't mind going up against Cleveland, and we may not even have Deshaun Watson. Even if Watson plays, the Steelers are in play. Miami versus the Raiders. I don't hate going up against Aiden O'Connell. And then Jacksonville versus Tennessee. So Will Levis has thrown an interception in each of his last two games and has taken four sacks in each of his last two games. So let's go and exploit that. All right, that's going to do for today. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, and FTNFantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK will get you 10% off. Tomorrow we'll be back to break down the initial set of rankings for Week 11. So I will catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.